Welcome to Behind the Music, brought to you by the Wichita Falls Symphony Orchestra. We're thrilled to kick off a new season filled with a wide variety of music, from familiar favorites to pieces that might surprise you. This podcast gives you a sneak peek into each concert, featuring conversations with some of the amazing artists who bring this music to life. Whether you're a seasoned concert goer or new to classical music, we're excited to share these insights and stories with you. So let's get started. I'm pleased to introduce your host, the music director and conductor of the Wichita Falls Symphony Orchestra, Fuad Fakhoury.
Welcome to this episode of Behind the Music. I'm your host, Fuad Fakhoury, and we are here today to talk to a very, very special guest, composer Gala Fajello, who will have one of her pieces performed on our last concert of the season at First Baptist Church on April 26th. Welcome, Gala.
Hi, Fuad. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful to talk to you again. And as we start, discussing this, can you just give our listeners a little bit of an idea of, your general trajectory, how you started, how you ended up becoming a composer, and just briefly discuss your career so far?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so happy to be here. My name is Gala Flagello, and I am a composer, educator, and I'm also the co-founder and festival director of a contemporary music festival called Connecticut Summerfest. I started composing accidentally as a child. Like many young kids, I took piano lessons when I was really little. And I started composing actually just because I didn't really want to practice the repertoire I was being given. So my piano teacher would assign me something and be like, I want to make up a song. and luckily I was, he was very encouraging of that. And he was like, well, this is really cool. If you wanted to write it down, like, how would you do that? And so he started sort of incepting music theory into my piano lessons when I was really little, and encouraging me to perform my own pieces on recitals. And so that is sort of how I got bit by the composing bug really early on. I grew up in Connecticut. I went to my undergrad at the Hart School in Connecticut. I'm also a former French horn player, so I played a lot of horn when I was there. And then I did my master's and doctorate out here where I'm based now in Ann Arbor, Michigan, at the University of Michigan. And I'm sort of having a full circle moment because now I teach a course at the University of Michigan called Commissioning and Collaboration Basics. So very much in the vein of the collaboration we're talking about today, Fuad.
That's wonderful. That's great. And so you started out as a, obviously like we all do on some instrument, and then, you sort of moved into composition. I think it would be wonderful to give our listeners an idea of, how do you make a leap from becoming just a musician who performs or who plays an instrument, etc., to a composer. We've had a lot of our guests that, have been soloists with the orchestra, but I don't think we've ever had on this show a composer that speaks about their career as a composer. What is it like to make a living as a composer, especially if you're not really affiliated with full-time academic position?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And I feel like there were like three questions there, so I'm going to do my best. I'm also excited to be your first composer on the podcast, so that's pretty cool. First of all, I have to say, I feel like, I don't know, a lot of your soloists must say this, but I feel like I have the best job in the world. My work tends to be really project-based because I write for folks that may not know what are called commissions. So a piece that maybe a symphony orchestra like Wichita Falls or a school or another kind of organization, they'll come to me because they like my existing music and say, hey, we want something new from you for, this instrumentation, maybe on this theme, about this long. And it's a conversation, and it means that every single project I do is so different. And that's what I love about my work as a composer. I would say in terms of the sort of like making a living piece, happily that is the course that I teach at UM. But I would say that a lot of it, similar to other careers in music, is based in relationships. And that's something else I really enjoy. I think the collaborative part of the arts is what makes it so special. And so for me as a composer, a lot of commissioned work will come from either a person I met maybe 5 years ago at a conference, or a schoolmate from my undergrad, or a mentor of mine, or, you know, a friend of a friend. So a lot of it has to do with you know, being active in the musical community and showing up to spaces that you want to exist in. And I think too, something that I love is that within those projects being so different, I get to bring my unique perspective as a composer to every project. So even if it's the difference between an orchestra piece and, you know, an art song, I think you still hear the galloflagello of it all.
Yeah, that's great. So, for our listeners, and before we talk about the piece that we'll be performing of yours on the last concert, Bravado, I wanted to get a sense, maybe for our listeners, of what does it feel like to compose a new piece from scratch, right? So let's, for hypothetically, we'll have a conversation. I'll say, you know, Gala, we want a piece that's 2 minutes long or 5 minutes long, or as we will talk later about the commissioning project that we have for next season. But let's say I come to you and I say I want a piece that's about 4 or 5 minutes long. And we discuss briefly what kind of instrumentation, meaning what instruments we perform on that piece, and then briefly discuss the subject matter. Then how do you go about taking those ideas and developing them into an actual piece?
Yeah, so I would say generally the framework of how I do that is similar piece to piece, although every piece is going to feel and look a little different. I am notorious for keeping a big long note in the notes app of my phone that's just titled piece ideas. and so if a commissioner comes to me with, maybe they have a specific instrumentation and duration, but not a specific topic or theme, the first thing I do is I look through that piece ideas note that's been running for, I don't know, about 8 years now. And I just think to myself, you know, like what kind of themes am I interested in exploring? Like what kinds of topics might this, you know, for example, symphony orchestra be interested in playing? Like what maybe would this work be programmed with, to see if I either want to be more similar or more different from that? And then I would say in terms of the actual musical material, for listeners who hopefully will come to the concert soon, and for folks who may not know my music tends to be pretty melodically driven. And I love some kind of rhythmic energy as well. So I will literally just start playing around on the piano or singing to myself and thinking about the sort of personality or attitude that my commissioner and I are looking for the piece to have. And you'd be surprised how far you get with sort of, you know, throwing your hands down on the piano. Something that's really important to me is embodying that character of the piece in every melody or every sort of motive or theme that I'm working with. And then if it's, for example, a larger work, like an orchestra piece, a band piece, a choir piece, I'm also thinking a lot about what is called orchestration or scoring. So what instrument is going to play what thing? And then from there, I think about idiomatic writing, which for people that may not know is sort of showcasing what an instrument does best in my writing. So as a former horn player, my friends like to joke with me that I always have like some big soaring horn line in whatever orchestra piece I'm writing. And part of that is definitely like the horn player background. And part of that is just you know, that's something the horns do incredibly well. And so getting to give the performers different moments to shine throughout the piece is really important to me too.
Yeah. You said something that's really interesting that as a composer myself, I really find quite interesting. You said that you'd be surprised how many things come up just by putting, you know, plopping your hands on the piano. And often it's mistakes that you make that end up leading to the more interesting things. You know, you'll be thinking, I'm going to do this a certain way, and then all of a sudden it doesn't work out. And from that not working out, you get a different idea that might be 100 times more interesting than the original idea. At least that's how I sometimes, that's what happens with me, these accidents.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely, Fuad. No, we're definitely on the same page there. This literally happened to me the other day with a piece I was just finishing up where I knew I wanted a section to come back again kind of immediately. So I copy and pasted it with the intention of like really heavily changing it. But yeah. Then I found out just from like, you know, hitting the playback immediately, I was like, actually, this section just needs to be longer. And maybe this direct copy paste with like a couple of small tweaks is the way to go. So I totally agree.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, that's the other part, you know, which again, simplicity sometimes is the best answer. I mean, sometimes you're sitting there working on the material and you think, okay, I need to do this and that. And then if you take a step back and look at it carefully and objectively, you might get the answer, and the answer would have been always there. And it's just keep it simple, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that even comes to like the idea of orchestrating and the scoring, and the idea that like an orchestra, for example, can have those, you know, really big bombastic 2T moments, but you can also have that like simple, beautiful, like single line or like chamber music moment within that larger context. And I think that's what makes the orchestra especially so exciting.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of, we are performing a great work of yours that really, I mean, that's how I was introduced to you. I heard it and I thought, this is a great piece of music. It's an overture. It's not very long, but it just really captures what you were talking about, which is an essence of vitality and just real sort of energy that was in that overture. And really what I didn't, even without looking at the score when I first heard it, I thought, this is really well constructed and I really would like to perform that piece. So if you could just take our audience, our listeners, a little bit, tell them a little bit about the background of the work and what it's about and why, you know, what they should be listening to when they attend the concert.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much for those kind words. So this piece is called Bravado, which, you know, pretty intense title. And it's, like you're saying, quite a short work, but sort of jam packed with action. It's about a 3-minute piece. And I have to tell you, funnily enough, the reason for it being so short was actually because it was originally written for an orchestral reading at Tanglewood, where I was a fellow a couple of years ago. So they said, you have 3 minutes. And I thought, what can I do with 3 minutes? And I was like, an overture, absolutely. So the idea going in was to write something that would be exciting, but also really concise, which, I mean, going back to what you said earlier about simplicity, sometimes is the hardest thing to do. So this piece is called Bravado because the main melody explores the many different connotations of the word bravado. So someone with bravado can either be really daring and confident or sort of overbearing and intimidating. So I really like to tell audience members to listen for all of the different ways that the main melody changes throughout the piece. And also, like we were talking about in terms of scoring, who gets to play the main melody? Spoiler alert, it's almost everyone. and that's something that I love is that balance between the simplicity of that one main melody and the complexity of how it moves and changes throughout the ensemble to sort of touch on all those different connotations of the word. I also really love that bravado, and this was completely by accident, I learned that etymologically the word bravado actually has the same root word as bravo. So it sort of felt really perfect. And I'm glad that you're enjoying it, and I'm so excited for your audiences to hear it.
Absolutely. And just to sort of go back to what you were talking about earlier, that piece sort of gave me other ideas. And next season, the Wichita Falls Symphony Orchestra will be commissioning 3 different works that have not been done before, that have not been heard before, by 3 female composers. And you are one of them, obviously, for next season. And I can't wait to really hear this this new piece that you're creating for the Wichita Falls. Obviously, this is a little bit far away, and I don't know how far you are in this process. And I hate to ask composers, how far are you in a piece? Because sometimes they haven't even started. So I'm not going to go there. But in general, if you can give our audiences any sort of ideas or anything just to sort of keep them interested in coming back in a year from today to hear your piece, your commission, new commission.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so excited to be a part of that project. So thank you again.
Absolutely, yeah.
So this piece is a little bit longer than Bravado. So I think we're hanging out in the sort of 5 to 6 minute range. I still want it to capture that sense of excitement and energy, while also getting to use those extra couple of minutes to really dive into each section of the ensemble. So I am currently, I'm saying currently, constructing this piece to be almost like a mini, like teeny tiny concerto for orchestra is the
All right.
idea.
I love
But
it.
you're gonna tell me, Fuad, what you think.
No, I love
And
it. I love it. That's wonderful.
yeah,
Yeah.
I this idea really came from a few years ago. I wrote a micro concerto for percussion with a small ensemble, and I really love that idea of exploring and also sort of investigating or critiquing virtuosity in such a short period of time. I think it's really sort of snappy and exciting for audience members. And it's also, hopefully going to be really exciting for the performers where similar to Bravado, they get their like little, they're almost instead of 15 minutes of fame, maybe like 15 seconds of fame.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Listen, I can't wait, and I'm really very happy that our audience will get an opportunity to really hear Bravado first and get a sense of your style, because you're the only composers that they will get to do this with. They will actually hear a piece this season, a short piece, but wonderful piece that really exemplifies your style. And then next year they'll come back and hear another piece that's specifically made for that performance. So I can't wait to perform Bravado, and I can't wait to have you back next year and actually bring you into Wichita Falls for our audience to not only hear your piece, but to actually interact with you as well.
Yes, I'm so excited. Thank you so much, Fuad.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure talking to you, and I really look forward to the performance of Bravado in our upcoming concert. Join us for the next concert in our season, Timeless Passage, on April 26th at First Baptist Church in downtown Wichita Falls. This concert will feature Valery Sokolov performing the Khachaturian Violin Concerto in D. You will also hear Rachmaninoff's symphonic dances along with Galla's piece titled Bravado. Tickets are available now by visiting our website and by calling the WFSO office. Also, please make sure you are subscribed to the podcast, so you can get new episodes as soon as they are released.
Thank you, Maestro, and a big thanks to our listeners for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation and feel a little more connected to the music and the musicians who bring it to life. Be sure to follow us on social media to stay up to date with the latest from the Wichita Falls Symphony Orchestra. On behalf of everyone at the WFSO, I'm Tim Williamson. Until next time, we hope you find joy and inspiration in the power of music. See you soon at the Symphony.